28th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey.
You sure about that?
And his savage tan.
Are you sure it's the second? Okay, just checking.
Well, it says so over your
shoulder. All right. Well, hey, just because a piece of paper says.
Well, you know, to confirm it, check it out on your iPhone.
Okay.
It is. Understand Apple knows all.
Yeah, there you go.
Our quote this morning comes from B.C. Forbes. It's a golf quote, but it'll work in many regards. Golf without bunkers and hazards would be tame and monotonous. So would life.
Amen.
So, now that you're in the new fiscal year, what's your biggest bunker or sand trap that's out there?
Well, right now it's implementing Measure Z within my organization and hiring the 31 plus people that I need to hire to meet my application for Measure Z monies for the sheriff's office.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I thought you were gearing up for this thing and that finally got a chunk of money to be able to play with.
July 1st.
So it's kind of like momentum now.
Right.
You put a little bit more gas in the fuel tank, so to speak.
Yeah, we started the process months ago as far as recruitment goes. And now, since July 1st has arrived, which was yesterday, we were able to...
You looked at the same calendar,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, same calendar.
What a wonderful insight we're getting this morning.
We're able to go ahead and expend those funds because my budget now has that amount of revenue in it to hire these folks.
You know, you're sounding like a conservative redneck here.
How's that?
You've got money, but you don't know what to do with it. But you're not going willy nilly spending it all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very. Yeah, I was very clear.
You know, and you accepted it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very clear in the application what I was, what I needed for my agency. And my application was totally for personnel. And so that's what we're doing. We're implementing that.
And wasn't there, when the Supes voted on it a week ago, didn't they trim something from you?
Yeah,
or
basically,
take back a little bit, or not give as much of the projected override,
right,
or whatever.
Right. We cut it back about $300,000, and the reason is because realistically, I'm not going to have those 31 people hired July 1st. So there'll be some savings in that. Yeah, until they're hired.
Period.
Yeah, ramp up. Yeah. So there'll be savings there, and there'll probably be some further savings at the mid-year. Because of, just bringing all those people on, I am prepared to bring on a number, probably 10 or 12 within the first, 30 to 60 days.
So the impact will be seen and felt pretty quickly.
Right.
KINS News and Information Times 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close to home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, implementation of new money, I know it's kind of a novel concept for you.
Right.
But I know it's kind of a rough segue here. The asset forfeiture dollars that used to come through on a pretty regular basis, did the law change? Did the assets change? Do the numbers go somewhere else? What? That used to be a huge thing we would talk about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You get a bust, and boy, all this money, and you guys would be selling it off, and look at all this for equipment or for whatever it happened to go towards.
Right.
Does that still exist?
Yeah, it still exists to a lesser extent. You know, the biggest one of the bigger problems is real property, which is almost not forfeited anymore because of the ownership component. You know, who has ownership of the property? Is it encumbered at all? What would it cost?
Like growing on national forest land, as an example.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, cars, vehicles, those types of things. Are there liens against those vehicles? What would it cost us to seize that piece of equipment and then pay off whatever's due on it? So those are the things we have to look at. So sometimes it's just not equitable for us to seize certain properties. Because it would be more of a burden on the taxpayer.
You don't leave them out there on the property, do you?
It depends. It depends on the circumstances. Most of the time, if they are seizable, if there's something worth seizing, we will do that and start the process. And we can go either through a federal asset seizure or a state asset seizure type of mechanism. It just depends on which one is the best route to go for seizing that property. There has been a resurgence in seizing real property, such as real estate, that type of thing. I've seen that become, resurge a little bit, not so much in Humboldt County, but other places. It just depends on is the title clear and how clear is that title and are we able to seize that property? And again, we're seizing it to stop the furtherance of a criminal enterprise.
It's not to offset the cost of enforcement on that.
Well, sure, it does. I mean, that's part of it. But our main concern is the furtherance of that criminal enterprise. We're a public entity. We're not in the money making business per se.
Well, you prove that regularly.
Thank you. I guess.
Yeah.
Let's go check that calendar again. Let's make sure we're on the right day.
Yeah. Well, you know. We're focusing on the day, not the year. So when you look at that, is it you send like an appraiser out there and or somebody and look at the VIN number and say, okay, this car is worth 50 grand, or purchase price was 50 grand. It's now valued at 35, and X amount of dollars is left on the note.
Yeah, because we'll need a clear title. So we'll do title searches on all that stuff to see, you know, if the title's clear or if it's not. You know, how much, you know, what's it going to cost to clear that title, that type of thing.
How much do you get now on an annual basis? I mean, it may not even be in the budget. Is it $100,000? Is it $1 million?
It depends. There have been years in the past where we've seized upwards of $1 million in either currency or assets.
Is currency yours, or does it become evidence and you don't get to touch it?
Well, no, the currency, when we seize currency, what happens is we have to go through a process of trying to identify an owner if the owner is not there, have them served that we're seizing this property under asset forfeiture laws, and there's a process, and they have the right to come forward and declare how that money was procured, whether legally or illegally. They don't tell us the illegal part, but legally, and if they can come up with a legitimate reasoning where that money came from, then sometimes those assets are returned to those people. And so it goes through a process that we want to make sure that all the steps are followed and that we're doing it, legally.
I bet you've had some creative storytelling.
Sure.
In those situations. Yeah. And there's a pile of money on the table. All of a sudden, all the pot is gone.
Right.
Now that money is worth money.
Yeah.
Instead of just... You know, a side issue.
Yeah, we've had a plethora of reasons come in as to where that money came from and how it was procured and why it's legal funds rather than illegally sought funds. And then sometimes there are those that will not even turn in a claim for the funds because they realize that number one,
more contact with the cops is not good.
Well, yeah, and it ties them to that criminal activity too. So sometimes people won't even claim those funds.
That's what I would figure. It would just be hands-off, and it's cost of doing business, and they're not there.
Right.
How long does it take you to be able to access those dollars?
Oh, it depends on the process. Sometimes anywhere from 6 months to a year, or sometimes even less, depending upon anyone putting a claim.
So if it's not claimed, It's a much
quicker. The DA is the one. District attorney is the one who actually does the mechanics of the seizure. And then there's the disbursements of that account to all the participating agencies once or twice a year.
So it's like the drug task force?
That's correct. Right.
Thrown through.
Right.
Huh. That would be kind of interesting. How many folks on staff do you have in that arena?
In the drug task force?
Well, or in doing the follow-up research and all that, is it one or two bodies out of the department?
What we do, once those funds are seized and that person is served, then the DA will take control of the logistics of that, and then it goes from there.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, there was a massive bust. I guess that's the biggest way to,
right.
Or the most appropriate. I mean, just to call it a marijuana event. I mean, this has got to be like the signature for the decade, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to give a little background about what happened? This is the major one that happened last week.
In Island Mountain. Yeah, correct. About 2 months ago, Sheriff Allman from Mendocino County called myself and Sheriff Haney from Trinity, and he had identified some major issues at that Tri-County border area. We had done something similar to this about 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. And
time flies according to the
does,
calendar.
Yeah. And asked if Sheriff Haney and I would be willing to join into a jurisdictional raid week in June. And we had already identified some large major grows at that Tri-County border area also, and all three sheriffs agreed to come together and work together, and we brought assets in from the state. National Guard was involved and others to help bolster our presence there. I think I threw 8 or 9 deputies per day at the issue. I think Sheriff Allman maybe had about the same, and Sheriff Haney had 2 or 3. And we spent 4 days in our respective counties raiding the places that we identified as being, especially in my county, as large commercial industrial type grows.
So this was this a compound that kind of straddled all
no,
lines, or were, just kind of a right. little camp yeah, or region right. that you would
yeah, attack? we prepared and served, I think, 8 or 9 actual search warrants on separate pieces of property. I think Sheriff Allman maybe, I think the last I heard, they prepared somewhere in the vicinity of 4 or 5 search warrants, and Sheriff Haney maybe a couple, and the rest was open field doctrine, so search warrants weren't needed at the time. And we seized about 23 to 25,000 marijuana plants. We could have seized more if it wasn't the fact that we had the search warrant issue to deal with.
You can only take so many? Or
well, no, it's just the idea.
It didn't stretch out far enough geographically.
Right. You know, under the open field doctrine, when the way it used to be, marijuana growing out in the middle of nowhere, we could land and eradicate and move on to the next site. When you have a search warrant issue, because now we're dealing with a piece of property with identified structures and possibly in a curtilage-type situation, we have to write a search warrant to get onto that property. It slows the process down. But we did go after some very large marijuana grows, which were basically greenhouse structures.
Now, being a tomato fan that you are, I would imagine you just kind of sit there and go, really? Looking at that number of greenhouses?
Right.
Holy cow.
Some of them were some rather significant enclaves. And
Sophisticated or just large? Oh yeah,
very, very sophisticated. Some of them were actually had numbers on the above the doors to the greenhouses, so they could categorize and know exactly, you know, what was growing in each one. Very, you know, sophisticated watering systems and putting nutrients into the plants. Of course, tons and tons of soil being brought into the area to grow these marijuana plants.
Were these raised beds, Mike, or were they in the
Most of them were raised beds, correct, and the soil's put in there. And then we did see a significant number of firearms. And in fact, someone was talking to me yesterday or the day before, was very astonished at the fact that we seized around 50,000 rounds of ammunition. And some of the ammunition was actually 50 caliber ammunition, which is
just in case the elephants attack?
I would imagine. But so we seized quite a bit of ammunition and of course weapons.
What was more? Did you go on site?
No, I did not.
Okay. What impressed you the most? The size of the grow or the armor and the weaponry that was associated?
Well, I would say they both were very significant. But the size and the magnitude of what we're dealing with is very significant. What is happening there is a movement within Humboldt County to legitimize the cultivation of marijuana, which I think, you know, we had a meeting a month ago in Garberville where a lot of this was talked about. Cannabis Voice, Humboldt, that type of thing was very involved. I think their willingness to come out of the shadows, so to speak, and to become much more legitimate merits some consideration. But the biggest problem is we have a state statute that says that cultivation and sales of marijuana is against the law, and it is a felony. And until that is changed, you can do all the preparation you want, but it's still a felony. And I think some of these folks that were definitely raided last week were probably those that were trying to bring some legitimacy to the industry, and had showed those levels of sophistication, but they're still growing an illegal crop with no way of substantiating any kind of claim that this is a 215 type grow, and it still does not fall into the confines of the Compassionate Use Act, Proposition 215.
Unless they're supplying San Francisco.
A few of them.
All of San Francisco?
Yeah, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 842. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. The calendar still is proving to be that light for the moths, to it.
Yeah, there you go.
Here in this end of the studio. So, Mike, you got a multiple day weekend coming
right
up. It's in the middle, obviously, of summertime. You've got tinderbox, would be a fair term to use. Trepidations about this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things to be concerned about this weekend. The fireworks obviously will be a large part of the festivities. So we have very dry conditions out there, you know, lack of water. All those things add into our concerns. And on a national level, there's also the concerns that have been going out pretty regularly about possibility of terrorist issues throughout the nation. So
does that trigger anything here in our region?
Well, what it would trigger here, I mean, everyone is hypervigilant. You look at the news
But when's the last time you guys swept the underside of a car pulling up to the
airport?
Well,
yeah, correct. I mean,
things have changed.
Things are changing. You know, would it impact Humboldt County? Would there be an incident here? Probably not, but what it could do is draw resources from here if there was something close by. Say the Bay Area or something like that, it could draw resources. Or Sacramento could draw some resources away from here. So, I mean, those are all things that add into a big weekend and festivities that go along with it.
Are you guys doing anything proactively? Are you sending a couple guys down to the Bay Area or the Bridge Authority? I mean, if they're going to attack in San Francisco.
I don't have anybody to send.
Wait a minute. You got all this money, all these new hires.
I haven't hired them yet.
Okay.
So, we're gearing up for the normal things we do during this weekend. You know, we'll have a boat on the bay during the fireworks, obviously, on Saturday night. And I'm going to have some extra folks down in the Shelter Cove area because we've always, I shouldn't say always, but we have, there is a history of problems down there surrounding the 4th of July. So
et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
What about Fortuna? Will you give them a couple extra swings?
No, they haven't. Fortuna hasn't asked for that. They seem to have the folks they need to take care of any issues they may have. And, of course, they have their fireworks the night before. So I think the biggest thing that everyone's really concerned about locally is fires and the probability of that happening. I thought last year was going to be bad, the year that we really had some significant fires in Humboldt County, and it did not come to pass. Well, we had a few small ones, but nothing of any significance. We'll just continue to hope that trend continues, and this year we get lots of rain.
Sure.
Or snow.
Well,
both.
Yeah. We can use our hoses again.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. This is a maximum enforcement weekend, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you guys participate?
Not necessarily. I mean, we will have our folks out there, but we're not necessarily in any kind of enforcement agreement with the higher patrol.
You're always at maximum enforcement.
We're always at maximum enforcement. That's right.
I give you the lines, and then I have to fill them in.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you then.